Everyone has a limit, and he's reached his. This is Nick's Take, a new type of political talk show about the current status of our country, elected officials, and the rest of the world. He'll give you his take on it from an old school anarchist with common sense and a true Generation Xer. Nothing is said from a place of hate, but this is an uncensored show. So if you're easily offended, turn back now, cupcake. Here's your host, the one and only, Nick B.
Yes, yes, yes. It's time once again for what we like to call Nick's Take, which is just me kind of ranting and babbling about the politics of the day. We usually try to make the show for about an hour, but we originally intended for it to be 2 hours. Sometimes things don't work out the way you intend, and so about an hour more is what I can spare in terms of doing the show. And there's so much political news and so much political hype right now that I just feel like my point of view as an anarchist is a little bit better. I also do an after show, kind of a podcast for it, where I talk about stuff more in length that I may not have enough time to talk about on this show, which is called Afterthoughts with a Cigar. So that's a video only, and that'll be up under today's episode. And you can go to nickstake.com to see all of the episodes, as well as to read or look up the information for everything that we've talked about on today's show. Today is the seventh episode, and I've done pretty good with keeping everything archived up on the site. There's two episodes, I think it's episode 2 and 3, that aren't up on the website. Those may never get up on the website because the way we're doing things now is a little bit different, and it may take me a little longer to get those up there. Eventually, when the staff comes on, hopefully we'll get those up there, but if we don't, then those episodes will just never be archived. Or we may just throw the video up and the audio up and no sources, which I don't really like doing that because I like to give you the sources so that you can go and read about it yourself. And I'm a guy that searches for sources everywhere, so I don't go just to mainstream news. I go everywhere. And if there's a blog posting from somebody, if I find out that the blog has some kind of credibility to it, then I we'll post it and we'll tell you guys about it on the show. Today is Tuesday, October 1st. Hopefully somebody woke up Green Day and we can begin. There's a bunch of political stuff that happened over the last few days. We didn't do a show yesterday because I was going through a health journey and was breaking a fast, and I just didn't feel like I could come in and do everything that I need to do and give you guys 100%. If I can't give you 100%, then I'm not going to do it. Now, we got some stories that we're going to talk about from Atlanta and Conyers, but I think I'll talk about those last because those are kind of quick stories. But there is one that's kind of making me go, okay, I don't know how I feel about this right now. And there's a change and a shift in a lot of American politics dealing with this one particular subject, and that would be the subject of Israel. Israel is kind of going nuts. But on one hand, I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, they're starting to invade other countries to wipe out the, you know, terrorists that they're hunting. And they're not doing it covertly like other countries may do, right? And Israel is really good at finding the people that are responsible for killing their citizens and killing them all. And they're really good at doing it without mass casualties. But now they've kind of gone a little bit too far, in my opinion, because, and I'm not condemning Israel for what they've done, but we have all of these international agencies and all of these agencies that are put in place so that people don't just march into another country because they feel like there's a terrorist there and they want to kill them. There's sovereign laws and sovereign rules about just going into somebody else's country. Now, specifically targeting somebody in somebody else's country, again, every country does that, but they do it in a strategic manner. They're not going to send, you know, tons of shells into a neighborhood in a random city in a random country because they want to take out a terrorist. They usually send in a special ops team to take that terrorist out without anybody around them ever knowing what's going on. Well, Israel's like, fuck all that shit. And they decided to basically destroy southern Lebanon. And I forget where this is coming from. This is coming from The Guardian. So it's the headline is Middle East Crisis. IDF says it has begun a targeted and demarcated group operation in southern Lebanon. Israeli military says in a statement it has begun limited raids against Hezbollah in south Lebanon. Announcement comes shortly after Israeli cabinet approved next phase of military operation targeting Hezbollah. I'm at a point now where it's like, okay, you know, I understand that you want to get everybody responsible for what happened during October 7th, but now it just kind of seems like they're, and again, I'm not condemning Israel yet, but it just kind of looks like they're on a blood quest. Like, they just want to wipe out everybody. And while I say they have a right to do that, because they do, America has done it, to wipe out all the terrorists that cause them problems. At the same time, again, when are you going to believe in the sovereignty? Like, Israel is basically doing right now what they've accused all of these other terrorist companies and organizations, I should say organizations, not companies, what they've accused all these other terrorist organizations of doing to them. And now they're doing it and expecting everybody to shut up about it. And it's starting to get to a point where it's like, okay, why aren't you using your special forces teams to target these people specifically to take them out? Because Israel can do that. But Israel is sending in mortars and all kinds of munitions and blowing up places. And it's like, you're not helping your case because you're destroying a bunch of cities when you could do the exact same thing in a limited ability with special forces, a smaller team to send them in to do it. Israel has begun limited raids against Hezbollah in South Lebanon, the military said in a statement. The IDF began a few hours ago a targeted and demarcated. I need to look that word up because I've never seen it, and I want to know what it means. If I have seen it, then I don't remember it. So let's see what it means real quickly. Yeah, you're going to have to, because I don't like to pronounce anything wrong. It means set boundaries or limits of. Really?
Demarcate.
Okay. Demarcated. I have heard it. I just am having a brain fart and couldn't read it. Which again means to set principles and boundaries to. I don't know how they're doing a demarcated thing when they're blowing up cities, but okay. The IDF began a few hours ago a targeted ground operation in southern Lebanon against terrorists, targets, and infrastructures of the terrorist organization Hezbollah. The IDF said that the targets were villages close to the border that pose an imminent threat to Israeli communities in the country's north. The statement follows a similar proclamation from the U.S. earlier in which the White House officials that Israel forces appear to have launched limited ground operations targeting Hezbollah. Heavy shelling into Lebanon has been taking place along the border in the area north of Shimona. The towns of, not even going to try and say all these, were being shelled on Monday night. Then it goes down into key events on this article. And it says, The Guardian's reports in Beirut has posted a video that purportedly shows the moment that Israeli strike hit Lalaki in Beirut's southern suburbs. Apologies for the brief interruption. We hope you appreciate these factual, verified, up-to-the-minute news updates provided by our expert reporters. You won't find paywalls around our live blogs. I don't know why they're doing that or anything like that. In a time of increased misinformation spread by bad actors, extremist media, and autocratic politicians, real reliable journalism has never been more important. Okay, never mind. That's an ad. Let's see. Here's another one that says at 1943 EDT, late Monday, at least two rockets were fired at a military base hosting U.S. forces near Baghdad International Airport. The Victory Base at Baghdad Airport was targeted with three rockets, two of which were shot down by the base special defense, while the third fell near the headquarters of the Counterterrorism Service Command, a security source told AFP. A second security source confirmed the report, noting that there were no casualties and that the rockets did not affect air traffic. So this goes into, like, again, I'll post it online under show notes today. It goes into a huge timeline of what Israel's been doing and what they've been conducting. And again, everything will be up under show notes at the end of the show today. Just give me until about sometime later this afternoon to have that posted. My whole problem, I have no problem with Israel or any government of the world, for that matter, any other country, going after who they legit deem to be terrorists. If you deem somebody to be a terrorist, if you do not outright declare war on that country, then I believe you should send in your special forces to do a targeted attack. I don't believe it should be this full-blown, let's blow them up from the safety of our home kind of a thing, even though I know that Israel has the firepower to do that and they have the ability to do that. It just seems like they're crossing a line when they continue going into these other countries, regardless of what the mission, what the reasoning may be, or what the mission may actually be. And again, the fact that they are targeting people that they believe to be terrorists, they already killed the head of Hezbollah. They already did, in a launch that they did, I believe, close to Iran or in an area close to that, or maybe it was even in Beirut. I don't even remember where it was, but again, they shot into another, they shot some RPGs or some rockets into this building, and they got civilian casualties out of it. The purpose of most of the countries of the world, when they start an offensive, is to limit the casualties. You don't want mass casualties, because that'll come back and you'll get condemned by international forces. And what Israel is doing right now, they're already getting condemned for a lot of the stuff that they've done. And up until this launch into Lebanon, I didn't really have a problem with it. And I'm not saying, and again, I'm not condemning Israel. I'm just saying, I think they need to cool down a little bit. They've already completely decimated Gaza. They've pretty much destroyed the West Bank. I know that they're going to help rebuild it because they've done that before. But at the same time, it just looks like what Israel is doing right now is only going to feed and fuel the terrorists even more. And it's going to cause this stuff to spike way more. And since we got a vegetable in the White House that's not trying to calm anybody down, he's sitting on the beach sleeping all damn day. It only takes 2 hours to take care of his own people. Shit like this is going to keep happening. We need somebody to come in to say, all right, enough's enough. Like, how many people are you going to kill? And again, they made their statement that they are not going to stop until every last terrorist organization that threatens Israel is decimated. Well, one of the largest sponsors, state sponsors of terrorism in the world is Iran. Are you telling me that Israel isn't stopping until it destroys Iran as well? They've now conducted missions into Jordan. They've conducted missions into Lebanon, and they've conducted missions into the territory known as Palestine. So it's like, stop. Because here's the next side to it. This is lining up with biblical prophecy. Are you trying to bring about the end of the world? Because this is damn near how it starts. Israel starts flying off the hinge to defend itself, and then all the nations of the world come against them. And here's where it gets scary. Kamala Harris is no friend to Israel. Donald Trump is even, he's a friend, but he's not going to keep them in check. And I don't know at this point which is worse, because I'm seeing countries' sovereignty being ignored all in the name of hunting out a terrorist group. It's not okay when America does it. It shouldn't be okay when Israel does it. Again, I'm not condemning them. I just think they should stop. They've done enough. Now, if they get attacked again, then by all means, make the Middle East just decimate it. But I think they sent their message already, and now it just seems like they've gone too far. And they're getting more and more mass casualties, which is causing the international communities to come together to hate Israel even more than they already did. And they hated them for nothing other than existing. Now you're giving them a reason to hate you. You're going to change the perception of your country from your strongest allies by doing what you're doing. And that's going to turn the whole world against you. America is one of Israel's strongest allies, and we're on the brink of not defending them anymore. Look at what's happening at all of our college campuses. Most of these kids are stupid, and they don't understand what they're actually screaming and protesting for. But when you start seeing these mass casualties pop up and stack up, it starts to get harder and harder to defend what they're doing. Because they kind of look like, at this point, a lunatic with their hands on some ammunition or some munitions, and it's just, it doesn't look good. It's not a good look on the international stage for Israel. And I can't help but wonder, what is it going to escalate to? Because the nations in that region are going to get to a point where they're like, okay, we got to do something. And they're going to cause an all-out war, which will be the precursor to a World War III. They've already said they want this war, the other countries. Even our own American people have talked about how they want to stir up a war so bad in the Middle East that they can level the Middle East. Like, there were people that wrote papers about this before 9/11, and they said the only way they were going to be able to create a war in the Middle East was if they had a 9/11 type, or if they had a Pearl Harbor type event. And then 9/11 happened. Everybody that wrote that article or wrote that paper about how they wanted war in the Middle East all got a position on George W. Bush's cabinet. Dick Cheney was one of them. All of those people got what they wanted. And now Israel claims that what happened to them on October 7th was their version of 9/11. So in their minds, they're doing everything that America did to stop the terrorists. Well, in this day and age, if America launched an offensive like this, if we launched something like Israel's doing, we'd have students condemning what we're doing to ungodly numbers. The whole offensive of doing something to protect your country is no longer liked by the youth of today. They see it all as imperialistic type government, and they start condemning you. Even if you were attacked and your own people were killed, they're like, no, leave them alone. Well, most people that know anything about bullies know that if you let them continue to bully you, they're going to continue to bully you. You have to stand up to them, which is what Israel's doing, and I side with them. I really do, but it's getting harder for me to look at what they're doing and say, yeah, that's okay. I wish they'd stop. I really do. I wish they'd stop. But I know why they won't, because I've studied some of the history of Israel, and I know the moment that they stop, the attacks are going to come back, and the attacks may even be worse. But I feel like the aggression that Israel is doing is going to cause what none of us want, and that could be the dirty bomb being set off in Tel Aviv. It could cause, you know, another October 7th for them, or October 4th, whenever it was. I think it was October 7th, to a level like nobody's ever wanted. And that's what I don't want to see. It's like, okay, we decimated Al-Qaeda when we invaded Afghanistan. They didn't attack us again, or at least we've put in measures to stop them from being able to attack us again. And we've felt safe for over 25 years. Now, there's another attack that's going to be coming, and they're going to be better at it when they attack the next time. Just so you know, if you believe the whole Al-Qaeda story to begin with, because it is a bit of a coincidence that all of those people wrote this story about needing to get into the Middle East and start a war, and then they needed a Pearl Harbor-esque event to rile up the Americans, and then 9/11 happened. Just saying, I'm a huge doubter of the whole 9/11 story to begin with. But in terms of Israel, I will stand with Israel. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I stand with Israel. They have the right to protect themselves. But at the same time, they're going to keep messing around with all these other countries. They're going to go into an all-out war with these countries, and it ain't going to be pretty for nobody, because those countries have allies that are going to come, and then it's going to look like everybody's ganging up on Israel, so Israel's allies are going to show up. And this is technically described in Revelation as the Battle of Armageddon. That's how it starts. The whole world starts turning against Israel. Now, are we at that point? Do I believe in the Bible that completely? I don't know, but it is really strange when you look at it to see how things are lining up. And again, with the exception of the Bible, biblical references, you can find everything up under show notes up at nickstake.com later today. Now, moving on, because again, this whole Israel thing is a touchy subject. It's a really hard one for a lot of people. And while I sympathize and understand where they're coming from, at the same time, I'm getting to a point where Israel needs to stop. I think they've done enough to weaken these organizations. Now, with Iran giving them billions of dollars, I understand that they can build themselves back even quicker. But at the same time, it's like, dude, on the international level, y'all are starting to look horrible. Y'all are starting to look bloodthirsty. That's not what you ever want to look like. You want to look like the country that is just defending its people. Well, at some point, if you go beyond that, then that's when people start to condemn you. And if you get me to condemn you, that means you've gone a bit too far. And I'm not condemning them yet. I just wish they'd stop. I really do. I wish they would say, okay, enough's enough, and leave it alone. Because they got... holidays are coming up. You're coming up into the holiday season for the majority of Islam and Hebrew faith. So it's like, dude, come on. But switching gears, coming back to the United States, Hurricane Helena wiped off the map many communities. 600 people remain unaccounted for. And this is coming from the Independent. It looks like a bomb went off, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp said of his state, as deaths have now been reported in North Carolina, Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and Tennessee. Donald Trump visited storm-ravaged Georgia on Monday afternoon to survey recovery efforts after Hurricane Helena, which tore through the southeast last week. At least 132 people have been killed after the hurricane slammed into the Florida last Thursday, then tore a path north, bringing catastrophic flooding and powerful winds. More than 600 people remain missing in a single North Carolina county. See, we talked about this briefly on Nick B in the Morning. North Carolina just looks like it's been wiped off the map. Like, there's whole sections of that state that, if you view it from, like, flying above it, that are completely covered by water. And it's very reminiscent of what happened during Katrina. The only difference is East Coast storms typically are never this powerful and this big. And I know things can happen and it'll change, and you do get a powerful storm every now and then. But the East Coast typically never experiences this, so they're never really built for this kind of damage. They don't have levees. They don't have things to protect their waterways. They don't have a lot of measures in place because they don't have to put up with it as much as people in the South do from hurricanes, because most of our hurricanes come through the Gulf. So the way North Carolina looks right now is a bit suspicious, and I'll tell you why. There is a rumor that North Carolina may hold the largest to second largest lithium deposits in the state. There's already several lithium contracts for mining that have been put in North Carolina, and they've been saying that there's about to be another mining boom in North Carolina for lithium. Well, you can't necessarily start digging all around the place because there's a lot of cities and communities that now happen to be gone. Something to think about. Just saying. Deaths have also been reported in Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and Tennessee. The thing that I can't get over is Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee got some destruction. They got some pretty bad flooding. We didn't. Parts of Georgia got it, and we didn't. And I know because of the storm's path and how it worked and everything, all we really got was some rain. And if I'm being honest, we didn't even get like heavy rain that we normally get from a hurricane. It was just like a few rainy days, nothing big, nothing severe. So this storm is very weird to me. I'm not one of these guys that just wants to come out and say, oh, the government created it. But it definitely has some creative flair to it. And it almost looks like North Carolina was the target. Then when you find out that they've been trying to do these lithium mines, and now looks like once they do the cleanup, that that's going to be an easy thing for them to do because people will be taking pennies on the dollar for their properties now. That makes it a bit more suspicious to me. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but at the same time, when people talk about things and then strange things like this happen, you kind of got to look into that a little bit more. In Buncombe County, North Carolina, at least 35 have died, and fears are growing for around 600 people reported missing. Landslides have devastated the southern Appalachian region. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper told CNN on Monday that communities there were wiped off the map. President Joe Biden said he would visit impacted communities at a later date, so not to disrupt response to the storm. Millions have been left without power, communications cut off, and hundreds of roads closed due to the damage. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris weren't even going to go and tour the affected areas until Donald Trump did. And then all of a sudden, it started looking bad for them, especially when the press started asking. But the fact that Joe Biden is given that bullshit statement of, I don't want to be a distraction, you don't think the people, your people, the people that elected you, you don't think they want to see their president after they've lost everything? That's a good feeling for most Americans, regardless of if you voted for the person or not. Seeing the head of the United States government come to your area to tell you, hey, we're going to get here and we're going to work, even if it's bullshit, it's still something that American people are used to seeing. And in my day, I've only heard two presidents ever say, we don't want to be a distraction, we'll get there when we get there. Barack Obama and Joe Biden. I think that's weak leadership. When freaking Katrina happened, George W. Bush was so hated by the black community, but he still went to New Orleans and showed up. He showed up. He went to places in Alabama and Mississippi that got tore up. I mean, he did the whole thing, even if it was bullshit. People still respected the fact that he showed up. Donald Trump showed up after events. And Joe Biden's like, I'll get there when I get there. So I find that extremely un-American, if I do say so. And his reasoning for not showing up, I think, is just pure bullshit. Officials have warned the challenges of getting crucial supplies such as water to those in need. This comes as Tropical Storm Kirk is likely to become a hurricane on Tuesday. So there's another one coming today that I hadn't even heard about. So, wow. And let's see. So here's the thing, too. There's a lady that went viral on TikTok that lives in the area, but she doesn't live in the area that was hard hit. And one of the news stations started telling them, stop sending money to aid in the recovery. Stop sending supplies. The news is reporting that. It's the same shit that started happening in Hawaii, and they cut off the fact that Americans from all over the country started sending supplies because we all understand what it feels like to lose your home. Chances are you've lived through it or you know somebody that's lived through it because America's got some fucked up weather. So at some point in time, somebody you know, and you don't really even have to know them to know what it would feel like to lose everything in the blink of an eye. And then you have the government telling you, stop? Why? It became a criminal offense in Maui to sneak in diapers. They started arresting people and charging them with trespassing. just for trying to bring supplies to help. God bless us. That's the last good thing we've got as Americans that we still have, that we've always had, is our heart, our giving nature. Even if I can't afford to give, I'm still giving if somebody needs it. Because that's what we fucking do. And now all of our friends and fellow citizens in North Carolina that need us the most, and you got people saying, stop sending help? The fuck is that about? As emergency crews were able to reach new areas throughout Monday, the death toll attributed to Hurricane Helene has risen. At least 132 have been killed by the storm, according to the Associated Press. The deaths taking place across six states. White House officials explain how FEMA plans to connect people in hard-hit areas with aid. The extent of destruction from Hurricane Helene has made disaster recovery efforts more difficult by downed electric grids and putting whole towns underwater, hampering the ability of local residents to sign up for emergency assistance. During a Monday briefing, White House Homeland Security Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood Randall explained how the federal government plans to reach people in these areas to offer them emergency assistance. Quote, FEMA literally goes knocking with an iPad in hand so they can help people register for assistance they need because they may not have power. Their cell phone may have run out and they need someone to help them get registered quickly, she said, adding that the Emergency Management Agency plans to install 30 Starlink internet terminals in western North Carolina to provide immediate connectivity for those in greatest needs. So FEMA is showing up after Joseph R. Biden, the current president of the United States, did a press conference where he didn't even give these people the time of day to tell them that, hey, we're on the way, help is on the way. No, he did a press conference to let them know he was sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. I don't give a damn who you want to vote for. That was a shitty thing to do. You got an entire state practically wiped out, and you get on national TV and say, ladies and gentlemen, we're sending $6 billion more dollars to Ukraine, instead of addressing the American people that just lost everything and telling them, help is on the way. Even George W. Bush's dumbass knew to get on TV and tell them, we're coming. It did take them 3 days to get there, but they were coming. I don't know what they're thinking. Tim Walz warns Helene aftermath is still incredibly dangerous. Democrat vice presidential nominee Tim Walz warned on Monday that the dangers remain in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. The Minnesota governor, who was in a hard-hit Asheville just last week, told reporters that residents in the southeast should heed road warnings and beware of moving water. He says, quote, our hearts are just breaking. The situation is still incredibly dangerous and unfolding. It's still incredibly dangerous in terms of moving water. So just like his running mate, Kamala, he repeats himself repeatedly, apparently. This one is horrific in death toll that's been involved, and of course the destruction. Over 1.7 million are still without power after Helene. Scores of people are still without power across the southeast United States in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. An estimated 1.7 million people lack power across Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas and Virginia, according to utility tracker site Power Outages US. Biden hits back at Trump on Storm Helene as he announces plans for surveying damage. President Joe Biden on Monday angrily hit back at Donald Trump's false accusations of neglect and malfeasance after the former president and Republican presidential nominee levied a baseless claim about the federal response to Hurricane Helene on social media platforms. Earlier in the day, Trump suggested that Biden and North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper were ignoring the devastated wrought by the storm, which has killed over 100 people and left hundreds missing and unaccounted for in the Tar Heel State. In a Truth Social post, Trump wrote that he didn't like the reports he was allegedly getting about the federal and state governments going out of their way to not help people in Republican areas hit by the hurricane. There's a lot of people that were making that connection, not just former President Trump. a lot of people were saying this area that got hit the hardest by this storm is a huge Republican area, and they think that politics played a part in it, and Biden had to come out and say, no, it didn't, after his disastrous press conference where he announced he was sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. Now, again, Biden did free up billions of dollars to help in recovery and to get things rolling, but only after public outcry from announcing the $6 billion he was sending to Ukraine. Georgia governor signs executive order authorizing 1,000 National Guard troops to be called up. President Biden tells President Trump that he's lying. Or that's what he came back with. He's lying. Okay. He was on the beach, by the way. Biden was when this was happening. Tropical Storm Kirk will be a very large major hurricane over the Atlantic in a few days. So that's why I haven't heard of it, because it's in the Atlantic. Forecasters warn of increased risk of additional landslides across North Carolina mountains. The National Weather Service and North Carolina Geological Surveys have determined that there is a risk of additional landslide activity across the mountains of North Carolina this afternoon and evening. Rain was forecasted in the area yesterday. While the rain is not expected to cause new flooding, it is possible the rain could be enough to cause a few slopes to fail, resulting in new landslides, the National Weather Service said. So, North Carolina got hit, and it looks like they're going to get hit again by a tropical storm that is forming in the Atlantic, which is an even rarer thing. Look up on your own. I will see if I can find something that will tally this up for me and put it under show notes today. But I'm going to write a note of that so that I can remember to do it. Just look up on your own how many hurricanes have hit the East Coast in the last 50 years or so, and then compare it to how many have hit from the Gulf, and just go from there. I'm going to look it up. I don't know what the number is off the top of my head, but I'm going to look it up. I can guarantee you it's very few. Speaking of, here is, I'm going to see if I can get this to where y'all can see it. There is a picture of Kamala Harris that was circulating where she looks to be deep in conversation on a phone call that her people put out to her coordinating FEMA efforts. Now, the part that I find very odd and very funny at the same time is her people have been arguing when the right or the conservatives say, you've been vice president for 4 years, why haven't you done anything that you claim you're going to do as president? They're like, oh, she's not president. She can't do anything. The vice president can't do anything. So, but now all of a sudden you're like, oh, look, she's coordinating with FEMA. She's getting things together. How, if she has no power? How? So this picture that was put out, people are claiming it's staged, including Donald Trump. He claims Kamala Harris staged photo of hurricane briefing that sparked conspiracies on social media because she's sitting there with the wired headphones from an iPhone, and the wire isn't going into the iPhone. You can see the bottom of the iPhone, and clearly it's not plugged up. Now, she could have another phone in her lap, I guess. But then she's also pretending to write something down, and the pen's not open. You think somebody would notice this stuff, or at least run it through a checker or something to remove the idiocracies that they have in the picture. But nope, they put it out to show her as a presidential candidate and a leader. And all it did was show her as an ultimate failure. Donald Trump has ridiculed Vice President Kamala Harris for pretending to work on Hurricane Helena disaster relief in a photo posted on her social media. An image posted on Harris's X account on Sunday shows the VP aboard a plane with headphones while seemingly on a call while she studiously writes on a piece of paper in front of her. The post even mentioned how she was coordinating with North Carolina's governor to help the state's recovery efforts after Hurricane Helena. At least 121 deaths in six states have been attributed to the storm. However, Trump pointed out a glaring issue with the photo. He said, you have to plug the cord into the phone for it to work. Pointing out the headphones she's wearing aren't attached to her phone on the desk. Another fake and staged photo from someone who has no clue what she is doing. However, the angle of the image does not provide a sight line to the port in the VP's phone, raising the possibility that her headphones were in fact plugged into the device. I don't know. That looks pretty clear to me, because you'd be able to see a little bit of it falling out. I'm not saying Trump's right, but I'm saying that's definitely I would definitely be able to tell. The earphone cord falls straight down, seemingly on the VP's lap, and onto the phone on the table before her. Also meaning there could be a second phone involved in this latest scandal, which is what I said. She could have one in her lap, which will probably be what they end up coming out and saying if this takes on a mind of its own and really starts giving her a bunch of trouble. The photo appearing to show Harris hard at work on the phone is captioned, "I was just briefed by FEMA administration head on the latest developments about the ongoing impacts of Hurricane Helena." Why the hell are they briefing the VP? The VP can't do anything, remember? She can't do anything. What did you expect her to do in 4 years? She's only vice president. She can't do anything. Then why the fuck are they talking about briefing her on shit? They're briefing her because she's a candidate to be president. She's not president unless they've actually made her president without us knowing, because Joe Biden has come out and said he has delegated pretty much everything to Kamala and told her to handle everything. So she's technically president without the title. You want to know why they won't give her the title of president and they just 25th Amendment Biden? Because if they do, she won't be able to have two full terms, and they think they're going to get two full terms out of her. She's currently our president. There's no doubt in my mind, based on how a lot of these things are happening and based on Joe Biden's own statements. And if you come at me and say, "Oh, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about," then really? Then who's running the country? I mean, which is better, what I said or what you're going to try and defend them about? "I spoke with Governor Roy Cooper about ongoing rescue and recovery efforts in North Carolina. Our administration will continue to stay in constant contact with the state." See, this is work that she could have been doing to lower gas prices, to lower food prices, to lower prices in general. But the left argues she's vice president, she can't do anything. Well, she's vice president now, and look at what she's doing. All because she's running for president and she wants votes. So I got to get to the part where it continues, because this was a bunch of ads, apparently. Let's see. Who is this? "Biden insists I was commanding in dealing with Hurricane Helena. He spoke to those impacted by the storm and helped distribute goods to those in attendance." Okay, I missed part of this, apparently. "The former president," so it's talking about Trump. "Trump spoke to people impacted by the storm and helped distribute goods to those in attendance. The former president, in addition to ripping her for a staged photo, slammed Harris for letting down Americans. Biden and Harris abandoned Americans in Afghanistan," Trump post continued. "They sacrificed Americans to an open border, and now they have left Americans to drown in North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and elsewhere in the South." Alabama really didn't get hit that hard. Online personalities also were quick to highlight questionable aspects of Harris's picture. "Blank paper, headphones not plugged in, everything about Kamala is fake," the account Libs of TikTok posted. The House Judiciary Committee Republicans X account similarly posted, "Her headphones aren't even plugged into the phone. Things that can't be seen, VP logo on the cup. Things that can be seen, the vice president logo on the coffee cup, standard text on plain window. Things that cannot be seen, Kamala actually writing any notes as she pretends to take a phone call," another user wrote. A meme posted in response to Harris's photo is captioned, "There will never be a more fake duo," showing Milli Vanilli, a defamed music group. Stacked on pictures atop of Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz, capturing, "Hold my beer." Trump slammed Biden in the wake of Hurricane Helena, as of course he would, because again, it's his failures. And again, Biden holds a press conference to come out and tell the entire country, even though all these states were decimated and everything was happening, "Hey, don't worry, we're sending $6 billion of your money to Ukraine." for a bullshit proxy war. But hey, support the Ukrainians, right? Who gives a shit about the Tar Heels? That's what I got from it. I'm not saying Trump's right on anything, but at least Trump showed up to give them some kind of peace as to what was happening. So, I don't know how you feel about it, but I would feel very good to see the leader of the country, regardless if I voted for them, showing up after I lost everything. Just seeing them would be like, okay, they'll get to us. You know what I mean? Like, they're coming. They'll help. They're not getting that in the Tar Heel State. They're not getting that in Tennessee or Georgia, except from one man. Hate him as much as you want to. He showed up. So there's something hinky going on in Atlanta. And I don't know if this is actually going to tell me what it is. But again, everything will be up under show notes after the show today. Just give me until later this afternoon to get everything posted. But there is a there's two things that went on in Georgia outside of the hurricane. This first one was a bio lab, a chemical lab, exploded and was sending huge amounts of smoke into the sky, and nobody was reporting on it. It's a chemical laboratory. If I'm not mistaken, it's owned by a company that's called Biolabs. This is coming from CNN. Thousands of people were told to stay home with their windows, with their windows shut Monday after a fire at a Georgia industrial plant caused a chemical reaction that prompted around 17,000 people to evacuate Sunday and left potential harmful chlorine lingering in the air. Okay, now CNN's reporting it as being a chemical plant. Early reports that I saw said that it was coming from a company called Biolabs. Oh, here we go. Residents and businesses were told to evacuate the area around Biolab plant in Conyers after the blaze broke out Sunday morning. A shelter-in-place advisory is ongoing for around 90,000 people surrounding Rockdale County. The plume of the chemical reaction that followed the outbreak of the fire could be seen for miles, and officials on Monday were cautioning those still in the area to stay indoors with their windows closed and air conditioners off. Stay inside. Turn your air off. Damn. Biolab manufactures pool and spa treatment products, which means chlorine, and chlorine gas will kill us. Air quality surveys conducted by the state and federal agencies revealed the harmful irritant chlorine coming from the facility. County officials said in a news release Monday morning, exposure to chlorine can cause burning of eyes, nose, and mouth, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC people. It can also lead to coughing, choking, nausea, vomiting, headaches, and dizziness. Officials in Georgia have declared a local area emergency. The Environmental Protection Agency is monitoring air quality for chlorine, though officials have found that current chemical levels are unlikely to cause most people harm. This stuff is in our atmosphere. That means people in my state could potentially be breathing it. County facilities in Rockdale County remained closed Monday. Residents in nearby counties have also reported the smell of bleach or chemicals in the air. Officials in Fulton County to the west of Rockdale County are investigating reports of a haze and a strong chemical smell believed to be related to the plume from the plant, the Atlanta Fulton County Emergency Management said on Monday. Officials in Atlanta are conducting air quality checks. Conyers is about 30 miles east of Atlanta. So far, air quality tests have been within acceptable levels in Atlanta, according to the Atlanta Fire and Rescue Department. In Gwinnett County, to the north of Conyers, residents also reported a haze and a chemical smell. Meanwhile, Newton County, the south of the plant, which is south of the plant, closed its schools and offices Monday. To the west of the plant, some of the schools and daycare centers in DeKalb County closed their doors Monday. Interstate 20 near the plant reopened to both directions Monday after authorities shut down portions of the highway Sunday, citing unpredictable path and wind direction, which can change the direction of the irritants in the air. So, a bunch of chlorine went into the air in Georgia, and they had to shut down the area And they want you to say, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Conyers happens to be a hugely Republican area, too. Not that I'm trying to say this is all targeted or anything. And then we get news from Atlanta. A boil water advisory has been issued for large portions of Atlanta and South Fulton, making bottled water available to the public. Substantial water outages in select areas of Southwest Atlanta have been reported, according to Atlanta Department of Watershed Management. Overnight, the department announced crews pinpointed the problem. They said there was some sort of malfunction at the Adamsville pumping station. The department says the breach was affecting customers in Atlanta from Martin Luther King Drive south of I-20, Fairborn, South Fulton, Chattahoochee Hills, Palmetto, and Union City. Boil watery advisory. The Department of Washland Management has issued a boil watery in abundance. So the people of Atlanta can't drink their water right now, or in some parts of Atlanta can't drink their water. And I'm not going to say that part is Republican, because it's really not. But just so happens that comes right around the same time that this whole steam thing, or this whole fire breaking out, happens. And here's the thing about chlorine gas. It can settle. It can settle on people. It can settle on houses. It can settle into water reservoirs. So I think it's a lot more dangerous than what they're saying it is, but I don't know anything about it, so just take it. Take my word for it, I guess. I'll look into it and see how chlorine gas acts, because typically chlorine gas is something that we usually don't mess with, because it has very bad effects on humans. Now, we do swim in it, but that's a very, very limited concentrate of chlorine. And BioLabs apparently has the extreme versions of it, and that's what caught fire. And you're talking people to the north and west of where this happened were smelling bleach or chemical-like smells. That just sounds horrible. And then you find out that Atlanta is putting in a boil order. At some point, things are going to line up, and you're going to have to start questioning more and more on who you believe and what you believe, because at some point, you're not going to be able to ignore the signs anymore, and you're going to have to look at it and say, no, they legit are up to something. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I know shit happens, and the biolab probably was just an accident, but at the same time, you're talking, we're only 30 some odd days out to the election, and all these things start happening. I just find it funny. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't like to think the worst of anybody or my government or anything like that. But at the same time, I'm not blind either. And I can look at the signs and start looking at things happening, and I question it. And I question the whole fire, the whole timing of the fire, and everything about it. Not from the standpoint of them purposely doing it to American citizens, but the hurricane is starting to look more and more like they let the Republican area of the towns suffer more than they should have. And Conyers is a very religious area. They've got one of the largest Catholic centers out there. And there's a huge fight against Catholicism right now that's going on privately, that's going to start rearing its ugly head, because there's a lot of people that are pointing out and going attacking Catholics for nothing other than being Catholics. John Kerry, this is what I'm going to close with. John Kerry, which is a high-ranking member in the Democrat Party, is actually advocating to edit the First Amendment to deal with what he calls misinformation. And here's the problem with this, people. I did a video on this already. It's up on my YouTube channel. Who determines what's misinformation? You have a high-ranking Democrat member, which means he's thinking the way most leaders of the Democrat Party are thinking. They're actively talking about censoring you. I make my living challenging the government and saying how I feel. The First Amendment is not only just the freedom of speech, it's the freedom of expression. And just because the liberals are in charge right now doesn't mean when the conservatives come in, they can go after expression of like your homosexuality and attack the LGBTQ. Because they can, if they get this misinformation stuff put into any kind of law. Let misinformation continue. Let people fact check it and put it out, because here's the problem. A lot of the misinformation that they said was going on during COVID has already been proven to be factual. Just saying. And with that, that's it. I will see you tomorrow for another episode of Nick's Take. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to www.nickbnation.com to learn more. You can find this show, its archives, and all of the show notes, and all of the links to everything we talked about will be under show notes about later this evening. Give me until about 9 o'clock Central Time every day to get that up on the website. But it will be up on the website. Nickstake.com is where you can go. You can watch previous episodes and look up anything that I've ever said on this. If you feel I've ever said anything that is wrong, please call me out on it, because I want to learn. I don't want to be one of these guys that just comes on and rattles a bunch of stuff without any proof. I do give you my opinions based on some of the education that I have, and if I'm wrong, please point it out. That's all I ask. And do it in a manner that is becoming respectfully, I ask. Because if you come at me hard and start calling me names and everything like that, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm going to call you way worse names. It's just the way that it is. I cannot leave without giving you my customary goodbye, which is hug your loved ones each and every day, because you never know when the good Lord will call them home. For every dark night, there's always a brighter day, and life's just a party, and parties weren't meant to last. I'll see y'all tomorrow on another episode of Nick's Take, where we'll go over more political news of the day. But for now, that's it for me. Y'all be good. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Wow. That was something. The proceeding was produced by Nick B. Entertainment. All rights reserved. Don't even think about using any portion of the show without the express written consent of Nick B. Entertainment. We'll get you. To learn more, subscribe, or to see what the hell we're up to, visit www.nickbnation.com. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.